So the saying goes that money can't buy you happiness. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it a whole lot easier to be happy when you're not stressed about your finances? I would say the answer is, of course, yes. Welcome to the Principles of Success, and this year we are talking about the principles of fulfillment and happiness. And today, we are talking about the principles of wealth when it comes to happiness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we all know that everyone says that money can't buy you happiness. And we all know that it's kind of true because you see these rich kids with the silver spoon kids that are absolutely spoiled, have all the money in the world, and they are miserable. Because the saying is true. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Money itself is not going to make you happy. Again, happiness is a choice. However, I like how Tony Robbins phrases it. Like, those who say money can't buy you happiness just don't know how to shop. Give me your money, and we'll see how happy I can be with the money. Money is a very useful tool when it comes to being happy. One, you can use it to purchase high-quality food, like what we talked about last week. It's a whole lot easier to be healthy when you have money. That is, if you are trying to be healthy. Because you can buy quality food. You can get yourself a physical trainer, physical therapist, gym trainer, doesn't matter. You can get yourself somebody who can help you physicality-wise, so that way you're not in pain. If you're super wealthy enough, you can hire a personal chef, so that way you can have high-quality meals made from scratch without having to worry about the stress of trying to make a high-quality meal made from scratch. If you have a medical issue, no big. You can go and see 20 different doctors to figure out what exactly is going on. I recently got an MRI on my shoulder. Insurance didn't cover it. For me, that wasn't a super major big deal. Partly because where I got it done was not that expensive. But for me, it wasn't that big of a deal. For someone who's like my sister who struggles financially, the stress of do I get the MRI or not would have been pretty challenging. Now, if it came down to something like that, I would help her out, but not everybody has access to that. Not everybody has access to somebody who can help them out financially. So you are on your own financially for the most part. So you need to learn how to be financially successful. The number one cause of divorce, we'll talk about relationships next week. The number one cause of divorce is financial troubles. Now, there's two sides to that coin. One side is that modern women are spoiled brats and expect the world, and the other side is that modern man is lazy bums and don't want to put in the effort required to be financially successful. Of course, you're listening to this podcast, so that's not you, but in general, that's the case. But yeah, the number one cause of divorce is financial struggles. So your health is dependent on your finances. Your relationships are dependent on your finances. Your ability to do fun things are dependent on your finances. Now, you can do lots of fun things for super cheap, and I've talked about that in previous episodes. Like, there's plenty of places you can go that only cost a couple of dollars to have some fun, or even free, like going on a hike, getting out, getting some sunlight, moving your body, very important things that we talked about last week. But if you want to do something like go on vacation, or even just a stay vacation, where you just don't have to go into that job that you absolutely hate, you need finances to be able to do that. When your finances are good, you're a whole lot less stressed. When you have zero debt, your stress levels drop dramatically. Now, I know this next one's nearly impossible, but when you own your home outright and you don't have a mortgage or rent, your stress levels drop dramatically. And when you're not stressed, it's a whole lot easier to be happy. So no, money can't buy happiness. But it certainly can help buy the things that make being happy way, way easier. So let's talk about the basic principles of wealth. Now, when it comes to accruing wealth, there's a very basic formula because money is just mathematics. And the formula is Your income minus your expenses multiplied over time is how much wealth you have. So, if you earn $2,000 a month and you spend $2,000 a month, and you do that over the course of 10 years, you're going to have absolutely no money. You are not going to be wealthy. But if you earn a whopping $1,500 a month, but you only spend a whopping $1,000 a month, over the course of just 1 year, you will have $6,000. Multiply that by 10 years, you'll have $60,000. It doesn't matter how much you earn. It matters how much you save. But what do you do with your savings? That's the next most important part. That's the next most important principle when it comes to wealth. Poor people like to buy things. You buy a new Xbox, buy a fancy new TV, get some cool clothes, buy some new shoes, get a really cool looking purse, or a really pretty purse, I guess. Buy that new video game. That's what poor people do. That's what they spend their extra money on. Middle class are almost as dumb. They, instead of buying stuff, buy liabilities. They trade in that little junker of a car into a nice car payment. They move out of their crappy little apartment and move into a nice mortgage. But if you want to be wealthy, you have to buy assets. Now, different success gurus like to define assets in different ways. And I've defined them in different ways over the course of this podcast. But the goal of the assets, when it comes to happiness specifically, are to reduce your stress levels, to reduce your financial burdens, to make sure that you don't have to worry as much. So, a house with a mortgage is not an asset. A house that you rent out to somebody, that you get paid additional income, so you're no longer as stressed about what happens if you get fired, that is an asset. But even better, a house that you own outright, which I will freely admit is nearly impossible, but a house that you own outright is a major, major asset when it comes to happiness. Now, I didn't plan this, but I'm going to do some cross promotion here. My other podcast, my new podcast, the Zion Home, is where I teach people how to build their own off-grid house that's self-reliant, which cuts your expenses down drastically. That's another good principle of not typically what you would find on a success podcast. Start a garden. Eating healthy is expensive. Not so much if you garden. You're getting better quality food, and your food bill goes down. Now, you can be stupid about your garden and spend a ton of money on it, or you can do it cheaply. But again, most of you are probably in apartments, so that's not even necessarily an option. But any asset that you purchase to decrease your levels of stress increases your happiness. So even if you're stuck in an apartment, you could buy a plot of land an hour or so away and go visit it every once in a while and have a low maintenance garden like potatoes or something. I don't know. I don't care. And I get off this tangent. Go check out my podcast, The Zion Home. But as you acquire assets that make your life easier, your stress levels go down and your life is more enjoyable. When you're not struggling to pay the bills, when you're not living paycheck to paycheck because you blew all your money on stuff, or you blew all of your money on liabilities. You know, it's very stressful to be poor and living paycheck to paycheck. I would argue it's even more stressful to be upper middle class living paycheck to paycheck. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my house. You're going to foreclose on me. Just don't be stupid with your savings. As long as you keep your expenses much, much lower than your income, your stress levels drop. As you build up an emergency savings account, your stress levels drop. You know, the least stressful time of my life is when I have at least $10,000 sitting in the bank. With my lifestyle, that $10,000 can easily last me a year, if not more. If you lose your job tomorrow, how long before that job loss becomes a major financial disaster? If I lost my job tomorrow, if none of you were listening to this podcast anymore, and I lost all sources of income, were gone, I would have months to find a new way to make money, to find a new job, before I had to worry about any major financial hardships. Now, I still wouldn't be stupid with my money during that time. I would not do anything expensive. But my stress level, my happiness level would be much higher. The stress level would be lower. My happiness level would be much higher than you who is out of a job. And that's the interesting thing about jobs. You probably hate your job. It eats away at your soul. Statistically, it's almost a guarantee that you hate your job. But if you lost your job tomorrow, you would be in an utter panic because you're not going to know how to pay your rent next month. So if you want to be less stressed, learn to live cheaply. You can do it at any source of income. And in fact, the more you make and the cheaper you live, the happier you are. If you're making $5,000, which to me is a lot of money, I grew up very poor. If you're making $5,000 a month and you're living off of, to keep math simple, let's say $1,000 a month. And before you say that's not possible, I currently live off of less than $1,000 a month. And once I move out to my Zion home, it'll be even less. But let's go back to what I was talking about. $5,000 a month income, $1,000 expenses. If you get to that stage, which even I'm not at currently, but if you get to that stage, you're generating $4,000 of excess every month, which means you're generating 4 months worth of safety cushion every month. Your stress level drops drastically when you get to that stage. So now that begs the question, what are the best ways to cut expenses? Number one being, and this is your most expensive thing, your house. If you have a house, I can almost guarantee there is absolutely no reason you should be living in a house that fancy. If you're in an apartment, I can almost guarantee you have no business being in an apartment that fancy. If you're living in a big city where a ghetto apartment is super expensive, you have no business being in a city that's expensive. But that's where all the jobs are. No, that's where a high concentration of jobs are. There is plenty of jobs in plenty of small cities with plenty of very, very cheap housing. What's not available is giant cities with cheap housing. That's not an option, I'm sorry. But that's where my family is. Move a couple hours away into a smaller city and go visit them. Or, even better, if you're single, like I know it's lame, but if you're single, there is no reason why, outside of an abusive relationship, that you shouldn't be living with your parents. Or, at the very least, having some roommates to split your rent. When I first moved out, I moved into the ghettoest apartment I could find and had two roommates, and between all of the ghetto apartment and the roommates, our rent was under, and utilities, was under $200 a month. Now, that was several years ago at this point, and I know we're in the middle of a housing crisis, but get yourself some roommates. Move into the cheapest apartment that you feel safe in. It doesn't need to be fancy. Get an apartment that hasn't been updated since the 60s. Get yourself some very annoying roommates. Because here's the thing. While you might be putting up with those annoying roommates now, you're using that money to put yourself into a better financial situation to where you don't have to have those annoying roommates. I don't have a roommate. Life is pretty good not having to deal with a roommate. But I had several roommates before this, so that way I could get myself into a financial situation where not having a roommate didn't affect my finances that much. Now, this is actually just temporary because my brother's moving in with me, but right now it's nice and quiet and my apartment's clean and I don't have to worry about anything. So that was a really big tangent on just housing. Next one, quit buying expensive cars. Of these principles of cutting your expenses. Quit buying cars that you need a car payment. Buy a cheap, ugly little junker that runs good. Take care of it. When a problem arises, take it to the shop immediately. You should have the money because you haven't been blowing it on a car payment. My first car is this car that I still have today. I spent $1,200 on it. It's as old as I am. It's had multiple problems over the course of the year. Just this last week, it started leaking coolant. You know what I did? I took it to the shop, found out that a hose was leaking, got it fixed. Cost me $100. Over its lifetime, it's cost me, I don't know, maybe being super generous on the rounding up, maybe $3,000, $4,000 at the most in repairs over the course of its entire lifetime. If you have a car payment of just $350, you'll have spent more on that car payment in the course of 1 year than I have for the entire lifespan of my car. Get cheap housing. Get a cheap car. Food. Quit eating out. Start cooking. Start meal prepping. Definitely stop paying for delivery. Get your lazy butt out of the chair and go to the restaurant or go to the store. Preferably go to the store. And eating healthy doesn't have to be expensive. Potatoes are incredibly healthy. Super cheap. Eggs usually are super cheap. There was a time where they were astronomically expensive for a bit, but they're usually pretty cheap. Milk, ridiculously cheap. Plenty good for you. Go to Sam's Club or Costco, borrow, bum somebody's card, and buy some pork loins, the big giant tubes of hamburger meat. There's plenty of ways to eat healthy cheaply. And the reason why I said bum is number four. Look at your subscriptions. Ask your neighbor if you guys can split Wi-Fi bill. If you're in an apartment, there's no reason why four apartments shouldn't be sharing the same Wi-Fi. There is absolutely no reason you should be spending $100 a month on Netflix, Hulu, Disney+, Amazon Prime, etc., etc. Quit blowing all of your income on subscriptions. Quit blowing all of your income on the super minor things, like the iconically bashed Starbucks trip. $5 a day here, $5 a day there, $10 a day on a pizza, $10 here, $10 there, $10 a month on Netflix. All these little things add up. They don't add up to a whole lot, but usually they add up to at least a couple of grand every single year. And you know what you can do with that couple of grand? Buy a new car when your old car breaks down. Fix your old car. Pay first and last month's rent when it comes to moving to a new apartment. Things that a lot of people have a lot of stress about when they come up. If you do the little things to cut your expenses down, you have a whole lot less stress. And that's the game of finances when it comes to happiness, is you're just trying to do things to reduce your stress. Either you're not spending money on stupid things so you have less expenses, or you're using your savings that you've generated from cutting your expenses to buy assets that make either produce you money, like a rental property, or reduce your economic burdens, all with the goal of decreasing your stress. And as you do that over and over again, your income will go up, your economic burdens will go down, and your stress levels will become next to non-existent. I am not worried about money whatsoever at this stage of my life. I was a super strict cheapskate, constantly stressed about money, focusing because I grew up very poor. At this point in my life, next to none of my stress in life revolves around money. And when you get to that point, it's a whole lot easier to be happy. With that, I will see you all next week.